Palm Sunday, as we make our way into Holy Week, the most focused time in the church's life here and around the world this week, as we remember the last week of Jesus' life. So welcome, and we gather after church in the gathering place for coffee and refreshments and a chance to visit, and I hope you all continue this community time in that setting in a less formal way. Special welcome to those who are here dressed fully for a vaudeville show. Folks have been saying, what's going on? Well, what's going on is that in 2 weeks there will be a Saturday evening show here with the vaudevillians. So special welcome to you folks. And so we like to begin singing, and what better way to begin singing is Hosanna, loud Hosanna on this Palm Sunday morning. We have a bit of a computer crisis at the moment. It crashed, and it's almost, are we almost there? Gonna be a while. Choir, pull out your hymn books. And we can share some hymn books around. It's number 123. Yavamp. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the happy children say, through pillared court and temple, the joyful anthem rang, to Jesus who had led them. Please be seated. Thank you. So, looks like Clever Will was doing an April Fool's joke on you folks, but somebody was doing one on me. Here we go. I think we're up now. Well, we gather with shouts of praise. Hosanna, come to us, Lord Jesus Christ. Be among us. There we go. Welcome to this place. We welcome each other, but we welcome the presence of God into this place and into our hearts this morning. And so I invite you to sing together, welcome into this place. And as you notice the symbols of our faith coming forward, I invite you to stand. Welcome into this place.
welcome one another and we welcome the presence of the Christ into this place. And we welcome the light of Christ. That light which has been from the very beginning, which stirs wisdom in our hearts and minds. We place the Word, and we pray that the Word might become alive in our hearts and minds this day. We fill the font and remember that from our very beginning, there has been an original blessing resting on every single one of us. And as we gather, we look at each other differently because of that. And we see a beloved child of God and the prayer shawl. Because we are a community of prayer, bringing here our lives, laying them before God in prayer. And every day, as we wake up, opening our eyes and praying that this day might be a lived prayer to God in thanksgiving. Welcome into this time of worship. Please be seated. As I said, we are a praying community, and as we head into this Holy Week, where we remember, and this morning we will remember, each of the stages in Jesus' life in that last week, we're aware of the incredible variety of emotion and thought that is this walk of faith that we walk. And so it begins in great hope, and so presumably you are bringing some hopes with you today. Hopes that live in your life, live in the world. This week also includes great suffering. We see in the story of Jesus a reflection of the suffering of the world. So we bring our awareness of the suffering of the world, of suffering within the lives of people we know. We bring that here and offer it in prayer because we are a praying people. So I invite you to reflect on what it is that you're bringing here from your own life as you look out at the world through the eyes of faith. I invite you to just think for a moment about what you bring, what you're carrying. And then as we pray, to, in your own heart and mind, offer it. And trust that life to God as we come together, and pray that God will transform what we offer and us as well in this time of worship. Let us pray.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for today, this beginning of Holy Week. We give you thanks for the witness of Jesus to the path that is so filled with joy and so filled with struggle, and to the holiness of that path. Sometimes, O God, it is tempting to believe that the joyful parts are the parts you bless and the struggle-filled parts are the parts in which you've left us. And yet this week we remember your beloved as he lived all the parts of human life. You live within all of us and all of our lives. And we thank you for that. And so we bring our lives before you. We bring the life of this world before you. And we remember your way of love and ask that that way would transform what we bring. By holy mystery, take us as we are and shape us into what you call us to be. We give thanks, O God of all faithfulness, for your love, which is in the midst of triumph and in the midst of pain. We recall times in our lives when we have not followed faithfully the path that you call us to follow. And yet, we are grateful that you are still with us. We bring before you people and situations in our lives and in our world that where there is pain and struggle and loneliness and grief. We have named some as we have gathered this week in different ways, and we bring them before you. We name others in the quietness of our hearts. Hear our prayer, O God. Be with us as we hear the story again and as we make our way through this week again. And help us to do so with an open heart and an open mind. Help us to respond faithfully to the love which you have placed in our heart. These things we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us in praying to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, it doesn't take much imagination as we hear the story to feel the struggle of Jesus in his walk through this week. The pain and the desperation and the discouragement. These things we know about because we are human and we live in this world. The amazing good news of the gospel, however, is that in the middle of all that life brings us, there is nothing in heaven and on earth that can separate us from the love which is at our beginning, which follows us every moment of our lives, which holds this spinning globe, and which will be with us no matter what. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. Sang Hosanna, and this is a version of Hosanna, which is God save us. Sana Sananina. Going to enter into a dramatic telling of the time of the journey through Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life, and this is a journey. And so, anyone that wants to move with me during this journey, any children or others is welcome to gather with me right here, right now. There is a infant toddler room all ready to go with activities and so on. So anybody
who would find this more helpful to go and play with toys, this would be a good time to head out and carry, and Carrie's heading in that direction right now. But this is a telling of a story, so I'm thinking under fives might find it easier that way to do that, but do what you need to do. But the rest of the children are welcome to gather with me here right about now, and we're going to take a bit of a journey together. You can just come right up here and... So, we're going to tell a story. And we're going to move while we're telling that story, because you notice something different about this, the church, the way it is today? Some different things. What have you seen? There's that thing over there, and you're going to find out about that in a minute. Anything else? There's, what is that doing in the middle of our sanctuary? Anything else? The vaudevillians, exactly. Didn't know about that part of the Christian story, did you? Yeah. Anything else you notice different? There's a cross sitting up there, over there by Gina. Anything else? Yes. The big cross. Yeah, that's right. The big cross. And what? And behind that cross, there's another thing over there. There's a blue backdrop and a chair in front of it. Yeah, something gonna happen there. Yeah. So there's some different things. Each one of those things that you pointed to are will be a place where some of this story is told. Okay, so we're going to move as the story's told, and I'm going to help to tell the story, and there'll be readers also telling the story. And I would invite you to move with me, but the one thing I would ask is that we're going to sort of stand on the edge of the story so that people who are kind of acting out the story have a chance to move past us. So I'll just let you know where to sit and watch from. Okay? Okay? Okay. The first place we're going to need to be is right where we are and looking that way. I would like you to join me on a journey that will take us back some 2,000 years. A journey through one of the most celebrated and intense weeks of the Christian story, the journey to the cross. And I don't think you guys can see. As we follow the journey, we will enter the upper room where we will share the Passover meal, the Last Supper. A short walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, just right over there, where we will see Jesus praying, and we will learn of Jesus' disappointment at the actions, or was it the lack of action, on the part of his disciples. We will move to the courtyard, here where Peter is confronted with someone who believes him to be associated with Jesus. Then another short walk to Pilate's court, way over back there. The journey then follows the crowd to Golgotha, which is where the crucifixion takes place, and then proceeds to the tomb where Jesus is laid. Our story doesn't end there, but you'll have to wait and catch the final stage of this momentous story as the week unfolds. This journey includes a sung refrain, phrases from the beloved Holy Week hymn, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And the journey begins as Jesus enters Jerusalem, surrounded by crowds, shouting for joy and in hope, a moment which the choir will sing for us now.
Oh, glory, Lord.
There, when they crucified my Lord.
Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' Just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
Imagine yourself in the center of a bustling city, getting ready for a really important yearly religious festival. But there's tension in the air. The Roman soldiers are everywhere. So you are taken to the center of a city, to a room above the crush of the crowd that is on the street, to the upper room where Passover takes place. The Passover meal is set as for an elaborate festival meal. The best available tablecloth and tableware, candles, flowers, set the scene for a joyful celebration. At the place where the leader of the ceremony is to be seated, the most important Passover symbols are placed on an elaborate decorated plate. This meal tells the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Every part of the meal means something. 3 pieces of unleavened bread, or matzah, represent the manna in the wilderness. Herbs, such as parsley, are dipped in salt water in the course of the meal, reminding them of the bitterness of their slavery. A fruit puree called haroset, made possibly from apples or walnuts and cinnamon, moistened with red wine, serves as a reminder of the mortar with which the Israelite slaves made bricks for their Egyptian masters. Wine, symbol of great joy, is sipped 4 times during the meal. Salt water, a reminder of the tears which the Israelites shed in Egypt, is placed in little bowls or saucers, and the parsley and lettuce is dipped in it through the course of the meal. And the cup of Elijah, a specially decorated goblet, is set for the prophet Elijah, who is expected to return at Passover to announce the coming of the Messiah.
When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be that would do this. "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to them, "Lord, I am willing to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me 3 times that you know me."
Let us pray. Loving God, we lift our hearts to you in gratitude for all the gifts you have given us. You made us in your image and you set the world of diverse beauty before us and set us in the middle of it. And in the fullness of time, you sent your beloved child, Jesus, to share our human life, to live and love as one of us, to encounter death as one of us, to reconcile us to you. He healed the sick. He ate and drank with outcasts and sinners and folks like us. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your presence and your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, your grace shone through him. Blessed is the one whose supper we share today. Blessed are we, renewed by this life. God of our transformation, power of love in the world, we celebrate the Spirit of Jesus which is present here, who on the night that he was handed over had supper with his friends, broke the bread, filled the cup of wine. May we do the same in the world and be an example of his presence. We recall how they gathered to eat supper. He washed their feet, and there he gave them a new covenant. Love one another as I have loved you. And he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks and broke it. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lifting the cup, drink from this, all of you. This is my life, my soul poured out for you. Taste the forgiveness of sins. Know everlasting life. Do this as often as you drink it, and remember me. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and what we do here, that we in these gifts, transformed by your Spirit, might become signs of life and love to each other and to all the world. Amen. There when he gave them bread and wine. We move now to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we find Jesus praying with his disciples, who are also supposed to be praying, but they fall asleep. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus was in great danger. Judas, one of the 12 disciples, had left the Passover meal and went out. Judas went to accept a bribe, which is money, 30 pieces of silver, in return for telling that leaders of the people where they could find and arrest Jesus. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside of Jerusalem, to pray. He was feeling a dizzying mix of emotions. It is here that the greatest struggle of his soul takes place. He is headed for a confrontation with both the Jewish and the Roman authorities. It is dangerous. He could turn back. Could he remain faithful to the dream that God had placed in his heart, even under the threat of death?
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
Were you there when he knelt and prayed to God? The gang that had seized Jesus led him to the chief priest's house. His name was Caiaphas, where there were religious leaders and teachers and scholars all gathered. But Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest's courtyard.
When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he not denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while they were still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Were you there when his friends betrayed and fled? Jesus was placed before the governor and questioned, but when the accusations rained down on him hot and heavy from the leaders of the people, he said nothing. So the soldiers assigned to the governor took Jesus to the governor's palace and got the entire brigade together for some fun. They stripped him and dressed him in a purple robe. They pleated a crown of branches of a thorn bush and set it on his head. And they put a stick in his right hand as if it were a king's scepter. And they knelt before him in mocking reverence. "Ah, bravo, King of the Jews," they said. "Bravo." And they spit on him and they hit him.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with him! Set Barabbas free!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate wanted to release Jesus and address them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
There, when they scorned and mocked our Lord. I invite you to imagine this part of the journey. Jesus carrying the cross. You might even close your eyes and see the story unfold in your mind's eye.
Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn away. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Christ. Then he took it down.
Thank you.
he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The woman who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments.
Were you there when they laid him in a tomb? So we have made our journey to the cross. We have followed Jesus through his story as it sometimes hauntingly resonates with the story of the world that he loved so much. We're aware that the story isn't over, that the one who trusted God in the Garden of Gethsemane and trusted God with his whole life on the Sabbath, Friday night through Saturday, his friends were filled with sorrow, with confusion. Saturday was the saddest of all days in their whole lives. We join them on this part of the journey too, and allow the story to shape our thoughts and our feelings through this Holy Week. We, like Jesus, trust God, and trust God to take us through to the end of this story and beyond. So I invite you to find your seats again as we continue in our worship.
Through this Holy Week, we will continue to pay attention to this story, and there is opportunity for each of us to mark pieces of the story. As Northwood, we gather with other United Churches in our area on Thursday. There's coffee at 6:30 and the service at 7:30, Maundy Thursday service, where, once again, the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and a foot washing will take place. That's at Cloverdale United Church. Then on Friday morning at 10:30, there is a Good Friday service at Crossroads United Church. And there are five United Churches, including Northwood, all gathering in both those places. And I would encourage you to mark your journey of faithfulness together in those ways. On Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, I'm noticing that the sun is shining and making shade over there under the trees where at an 8 o'clock sunrise service will take place. And then, as usual, we will gather here on Sunday morning at 10:30 for our Easter celebration. So I invite you, people of God, to mark these services and participate as much as you can. There's other things going on in our life as well, all the while as we mark these days coming up in our life together. And so I invite the folks who are receiving the offering to come forward, and we will continue worshiping God in that way as I tell you about some of the other things that are going on in the life of Northwood. April is a full month in our life together. On the 14th of April, those who are dressed in vaudevillian style are the vaudevillians, and they will gather. They will do a concert here, Saturday night, the 14th. This is one of those concerts that we at our annual meeting talked about gathering and having extra special events in support, partly for the fun of it and partly in support of the ministry of Northwood. The proceeds to this event go to the food ministries of Northwood United Church, which includes a food cupboard. It includes a dinner, seasonal dinner at the Hub. It includes a monthly hot lunch. And folks come by here all the time in search of food. And so that will support that aspect of our mission. And I'm grateful to the vaudevillians. There will be tickets to that event for sale by the vaudevillians and by Jerry Hall, who Jerry, can you stand up so people can see and know where to come to get tickets? Later that week, you're invited to an event that the stewardship committee has put on, or has prepared with the help of the men's club. You're invited to come for breakfast on Wednesday the 18th for a conversation with Jane Harding and a lawyer friend of hers who will fill folks in on things like wills, planned giving, estate planning, representation agreements, all the kind of stuff you need to do to prepare yourself within the last kind of quarter of your life. But we never know when we're in that last quarter, right? So it's kind of like important conversations in our life as we move along. So Jane Harding works for the National Church in this area, and so it's going to be a really, really good gathering. On the 28th, just later on in April, 28th is our, the thrift store puts on the fashion show, so that's happening on a Saturday here as well. And on Earth Day, which is the 22nd of April, the day before Earth Day, 21st, I would invite all of you to help take care of this little section of Earth that we have been given. we're looking for one other. We have one, a couple who are willing to coordinate. Allison and Dawn are going to help coordinate this event, but we're looking for somebody else to help coordinate this event, and we're seeing it as a kind of an opportunity for Northwood to gather and care for this piece of land, all for the love of Northwood. So I invite you, and they will break down the tasks to manageable sizes so that each. We can participate. Well, let us bring before God our offerings.
Thank you.
God, for all the gifts you give us, we are thankful, and especially on this week when we see so clearly your love taking such deep risks in this world, we are grateful. So we bring these offerings and ourselves to this table, that your Spirit might stir us to that kind of risky action for the sake of love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Friends, we have experienced the story, and now we're called to live the story in the world, a story that is all about love's unfolding, love's challenge, and love's triumph. And so let us go out from this place and count our blessings and practice our faith, never looking down on this struggle for life, and know that no matter where you go, the Spirit of God is already there at work. So may the peace of Christ attend us, the love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us, now and always. Just want to say thanks to those folks who stepped forward and helped us to tell the story today, the readers and all those who played parts. Thank you so much for that.